And if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 18 to 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. If you are using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 829. And we read these words from God's Word. It says this: "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Great words, and I look forward to hearing what God's Word has to say to us this morning.
We want to, this morning, talk a bit about the importance of praising God through song and how God can take and use songs to minister to us. And, you know, when we look at some of the great old hymns of the church, and we're going to be looking at some of those today, as we look at the great old hymns of the church, we begin to realize how truly deep these individuals were as they took the time to write what God laid on their hearts, to write those things down and in song, and just be able to bless for generations many, many people. Hymns are an amazing gift from God. There isn't any doubt about it. And we want to begin this morning by looking at, once again, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read verses 18 through 21 once again. Paul writes this. He says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we pray that today we might get a little bit of a better understanding and a better grasp of the role that praise plays in our worship. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would now just infect us with great grace, with great love, with great passion for you. Father, we certainly love you, and we are just filled with thanksgiving for delivering us from the power of sin and giving us the great hope of life. Now, Father, bless our moments together here with your leadership, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. As I was starting to put together this message and beginning to work on it, it just kind of impressed me the way that too often we sing hymns and we don't really pay attention to what we're singing and what we're saying. And, you know, it's kind of like suddenly when we begin to sing hymns, our mind begins to go a couple of different directions. And we begin to worry about whether or not we're going to get the lawn mowed, whether or not, you know, we're going to get this done or that done. And, you know, we've got people coming over, and is everything just in order? Is the car running exactly the way that it should be? Or so-and-so called, and they need to have something done. And so we're kind of just going through the motions of praise, but we're not focusing on praise. And this morning, I really wanted us to just kind of focus a little bit on this subject of praise. focus on the idea that music, and in particular the words of the hymns, really help to enhance our relationship with God. And we can learn a lot from these hymns. Many of these hymns were born out of experiences that individuals went through, and they saw the miraculous hand of God work in bringing them deliverance and healing and help. And so they wrote this stuff down to maybe encourage someone else going through a very difficult time in their life. Many of them are just a reminder that our hope is in the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the very first thing that we want to look at is we want to look at hymn number 210. We're going to open to that in a minute. Jesus paid it all. But I want us to remember that in that fact that Jesus paid it all, we need to remember that the plan of God for salvation through Christ, that plan existed long before it was brought about. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever formed, the plan of salvation was put together. And Jesus would be the one who would be the perfect and the pure sacrifice, who would be able to deliver us from the power of sin and from the power of eternal destruction and damnation. But see, because God does not want anyone to come to a Christless eternity at the end of life, but instead He wants us each and every one to have life. He wants us to have salvation. He wants us to be a part of His kingdom forever. He wants us as His children and to fellowship with us. I want you to listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verse 6. It says that, well, we're going to read verses 4 through 6. But I want you to notice this. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. Isaiah writes this 600 and some years before the crucifixion of Christ. And yet the revelation of that perfect Lamb of God is so clear, and it is so pure, that he writes as if it has already taken place. You will notice that even though this happens hundreds of years before Christ, he speaks in the past tense throughout those verses. He was, he did, he received. All things in the past tense, because you see, on the mountain of Calvary, that had already taken place in the eye and the mind of God. Did not catch him off guard. And as he is revealing this to Isaiah to write, he is writing as though Calvary has already happened. And that's an amazing, amazing gift. And so, God has given us salvation because Jesus was willing to pay the price. He was willing to die in order that we might have life. And also remember that as Isaiah is writing this, and as it's coming together, this is an event that Jesus in heaven with his Father is looking towards. And Isaiah so clearly pours out this prophecy of what's going to happen. We can be grateful that we have a Christ who was willing to go to the cross that we might have life. Please take your hymnals and join me in hymn number 210. Hymn number 210, and we're going to sing verse 1. You will notice that very last line, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How did he wash away the stain of sin from our lives? But he washed it away through the blood of Christ. He washed it away through the perfect sacrifice that was given. Had the stain of sin remained on all of mankind, we would be without hope and there would be no sense of optimism about the future. But the truth is, Jesus died on the cross that we might have life. And the fact is, he died for you. He willingly gave his life so that you could have eternal life. He willingly gave his life so that I could have eternal life. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 5, the 9th verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We are justified in the eyes of God. We are viewed as never having committed sin because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of his willingness to give up his blood to give us life, because of the cleansing power that comes with the shedding of blood. Folks, the Bible tells us clear back in the Old Testament that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's why animals had to be used in the Old Testament, looking forward to the time when the perfect Lamb of God would be slain on the hill. But because of that requirement, blood for sin, we have life. Jesus' blood for our sin. And a freely offering of forgiveness for each and every one of us. And we were all without hope. But now, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. What an amazing, amazing privilege we have. Join me in hymn number 191. Hymn number 191. We're going to sing the first verse and chorus. Amen. You see, because of Jesus dying for you and because of Jesus dying for me, he offers to us an escape from the penalty of sin. He offers us an escape from the power of sin. That's called grace. God willingly pours out his grace upon you and I. A grace that is greater than all of our sin. A grace that is more powerful than anything in life that we might have to face. I want you to listen to the words of Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, death entered this picture of life that we live because of Adam's disobedience to God. Because of Adam's disobedience, that principle and power of sin was passed on to everyone who was ever going to be born again. not born again, born from thence on. Okay? And through the born again experience, through receiving the grace of God, God freely offers to us an opportunity of life. What's your hope today? What's your hope? If Jesus Christ were to come back this very moment, what would be your hope? Would your hope be a knowledge that you would get to go to heaven with Him? Or would it be a thing of, well, I kind of hope so. Well, you can know. You can know that you have life if you repent of your sins and give yourself to Jesus Christ. God will pour out His grace upon you that washes away all of the sin that you've ever done, that will give you a brand new heart, a brand new start, a brand new life freely. It's not going to cost you anything except everything you are. You can't pay for it. You can simply go before God and say, everything I am, I give to you. Do with me what you wish. Change me how you wish to change me. And that grace of God is available to you and I. Please join me in hymn number 201. Number 201. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3. Why do we have that opportunity? It's because of the kindness of God. You see, God is a God of love. And it's not His will or His desire that any should perish, but it's His desire that all should come to repentance, that all should come to life in Christ. It is His desire that each and every individual have a personal relationship with Him so that they can dwell in His kingdom forever. And His kindness is such that it reaches out to everyone no matter what station in life that they've been placed. Whether they are the most poor and the most destitute, God's kindness reaches out to them. Whether they are the wealthiest and the most influential, God's kindness reaches out to them. The kindness of God is willing to bring us, in spite of our circumstances, into fellowship and relationship with Him. All we need to do is give our hearts and our lives to Him, because His kindness is greater than this life, than anything in this life. His kindness is what gives us hope. God is an amazing God. Let's sing, if you would, number 69. Number 69, Thy Loving Kindness. Amen. Amen. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God inhabits the praises of His people. He has offered to us the gift of salvation. He has offered to us life freely. He has offered to us an opportunity not just for a relationship with Him, but a close, close relationship. He offers to us His wisdom. He offers to us His discernment. He offers to us a fellowship with Him and with others who have a like mind and a like spirit, who are willing to go the distance with God. He offers to us everything that is necessary for life and for eternal life. And for that, we should praise Him. Praise Him continually for the great gifts that He has given us. So I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals at this time. And we're going to open up to number 106. Number 106. And we're going to sing, "Praise Him, Praise Him." And as you sing this hymn today, pay close attention to what the words have to say. And remember, God inhabits your praises. He dwells there. He lives where you praise. So praise Him from the heart. Number 106, "Praise Him, Praise Him." Amen. Keep your hymnals open there. In a moment, we're going to sing number 107 as a benediction. But folks, I realize that this particular message was not the normal type of message that I deliver. But I really felt and sensed that God was saying, you know what? My people need to praise. They need to sing. They need to bring glory to His name. And I pray that you will, when singing these great hymns of the church, will take a moment and reflect on what you're singing. And don't let them become just common. But instead, let even the music speak to your heart. Let the words of the hymns speak to you. You'll see that these hymns, over and over and over, enlighten us to the Word of God. And as people have experienced tremendous difficulties in life, they can have tremendous loads lifted off by praising God and by worshiping Him. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to have a closing word of prayer. I'm going to ask Sylvia to come, and she's going to lead us in the benediction by helping us to sing, "Let's Just Praise the Lord," number 107 in your hymnal. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank You. We thank You for all that You have provided for us in the person of Jesus. We thank You for the giving of life so that we could have life. We thank You for then offering to us the freedom of being able to live in You, in faith, that no one can take away. And Father, I thank You for this congregation, for these people, for their influence in our community and surrounding communities. I thank You for each one of them as they walk out into Your world. Father, we pray that You would just bless them above all that they could ask or think, and that each one of them might be able to leave here with a song in their heart, with joy in their minds, and with gratitude for all that You have provided. Father, may each one of us just be blessed above all that we could ask or think, so that we can become a blessing to this world. Lord, change our hearts where our hearts need changed. Change our attitudes where our attitudes need changed. Change our passions where our passions need changed. Change us to fit the image of Jesus Christ, so that His mind may dwell in us. And we'll give You thanks and glory and praise, for it's all in Your name that we pray these things. And all of God's people said, Amen. We want to thank you for being here. May God bless you. Sylvia, would you please lead us in the benediction?
Please turn to hymn number 107. "Let's Just Praise the Lord."